All right, good morning. Welcome to the FTS Bet Slip Monday, the 14th of June. As is going to be right through the month, Scott is back with me. Morning, Scott.
Morning, Ian.
Feeling good, son? Good weekend?
Yeah, busting, mate, busting.
Busting. I think that's normally what somebody says when they want to go to the loo, isn't it?
Yeah, I've done that. No, probably because I've eaten too much.
All right, okay, son. Right, I've just got to get through some FTS admin, so if you can just sit and hold on a minute. I've got a fair few emails that I need to go through in the inbox. I will catch up. I've hinted to this on the pod, but I have had a very time-consuming family issue. And the result of that sees a massive change in my life. As of Wednesday, the daughter and grandson are moving back in here. We're picking them up at the airport, all going well, early Wednesday morning. I genuinely have no idea at this stage if this is permanent or going to be summer short term. It won't affect anything greatly at all long term. Well, it won't affect anything long term, but obviously there's that short term disruption. Firstly, I've never seen Ari, so it will be nice to gain his acquaintance. But we've had to childproof the house very quickly, baby proof it with child locks, and things like that. I have to be honest, I didn't see me doing that at 50. But it has taken a bit of time. It will just mean a shift here in the house dynamics, which will probably take a little bit of adjustment. I'm a bit of a creature of habit, and I've got to get used to a 1 year old running around again. So if you could just grant me some patience this next few weeks with queries and things, I might not be quite readily available. There'll be people saying you're never readily available, but genuinely I'm pretty good, as I would like, but everything will settle down and continue as normal. I do hope to have Ultimate out soon, and by soon I was hoping this week, but it may be early next week now, and I'll have an update on that later this week. And past members, obviously, you'll get priority first. Summer school, I'll have some content out to you 24, 48 hours, next 24, 48 hours. And the progress of that is going to be completely unaffected by domestic setup. And then I have some other bits that I want to get through as we move through the Euros towards the new season. As I say, it's just going to be a little bit of initial upheaval as we get used to it. But if anybody does know how to fit child locks and stair gates, drop me an email. And Sam is out. She's out now, spending the GDP of a small country on baby bits. I've never seen shopping like it in the last 3 or 4 days. It's mental. Slowly filling the house up, room by room. Got everything. Ascot starts tomorrow as well. I usually do a Royal Ascot live blog, but I won't be doing that this week. Obviously, we've got the Euros, and I just can't be see when this carnage starts on Wednesday that I will be able to sit down and focus on Royal Ascot at all this week. Those of you who signed up for the PDF, it will be out. The preview PDF will be out today, and then from 11 o'clock-ish onwards, for the next 5 days, you will Tuesday onwards, you will get the qualifying selections. If anybody wants the PDF who didn't sign up, just drop me an email and I can get that set up for you over the course of today, tomorrow. But yeah, I mean, I will try and grab a bit of Royal Ascot, but it's a wealth of sport. So that is that side of it. As I say, genuinely, it won't affect anything, just this initial upheaval. So let's get into the football. I think we reviewed the Welsh game, Scott. Belgium then played after that, I think, and Lukaku bagged a couple. It's
Yeah, with a
difficult. I can't
stroll.
remember what the other game was. On Saturday, we had Wales were up first. This is how bad I am. Belgium were the evening game, weren't they?
Yeah, Denmark, unfortunately, it was a Denmark-Finland
Oh, of
game in
course.
between.
Oh, yeah, sorry, of course, yeah. Yeah, I mean, as you know, we did the podcast Saturday, and then I did add a bit on Sunday morning, with my views on that. I mean, that's the win of the tournament, and it is him coming through that for me. I'm not
Yeah.
really fussed about anything else.
Yeah, I don't give a damn about anything else.
No, Denmark have won Euro 2020 already in my eyes. Yeah, I mean, we don't need to go over the what happened again. It was horrific, but fantastic news to see the lad awake and
And by the count, results are testing normal at the moment, they said so far, which is surprising.
Yeah, I read that yesterday or early this morning, that they can't actually, it was a cardiac arrest, but they can't see anything at all that caused it. Just as I said in the prologue, it just shows you that you've got to make the most of life. You know, you're talking about certainly in his time at Spurs, I think game after game, he was the guy who ran the most. You know, you're talking about one of the fittest players. You know, I know they're all fit, but
yeah,
you know, teams do tick through him. He is a real non-stop moving about the pitch. You know, and yeah, just, I mean, it was just horrific, wasn't it? But
it was horrible.
Thankfully, all gone well. So that was, yeah, so it was obviously the Denmark game. You know, I do think the result was affected there. I think, you know,
definitely.
Kasper Schmeichel, as I said, I just think, you know, I know he probably should have saved that, but you can't blame him for what went on. I thought he was amazing. Him and the skipper, I just thought amazing in those situations, the way they acted. And then on to yesterday, and I... Of my trades, have only, I believe, and I've had a few scratch, but I think I've only had one negative, and that was the numpties England yesterday not conceding.
Yeah, that cost me as well.
I could have done with them conceding. I just want to clarify something, so before we get into it on the England front, because I'm getting a bit of abuse for being unpatriotic. I'm not at all unpatriotic. I want England to win their games. I just don't wish to watch Southgate. I'm not going to lie, he triggers me. I can't get over, you know, a World Cup final is a once in a generation thing, particularly for England, having not been there since 66. He did cock it up. Already we're falling into the same old mistakes. I opened my Sky Sports app at about 5 o'clock this morning on my phone. The headline, our greatest asset is Gareth Southgate.
I couldn't believe it when I read that.
And it's just the same old bollocks every time. We basically beat, I mean, I didn't watch the game, but we basically beat an ageing Croatian side. Did we go out and dazzle them and batter them, Scott?
No.
You watched it?
No, we didn't. Right. It was a good result, but Mason Mount afterwards summed it up perfectly. He said we did well for the first 20 minutes and then the sun kicked in and got tired. And that's exactly what I saw. I posted on Twitter at halftime exactly that. And I had a few people saying, you must have watched a different game. And so I felt vindicated when one of their own players said exactly that. And yeah, that's how it played out. Croatia and England struggled in the heat. It was, at times, after about 25 minutes onwards, it was regularly just strolling football. And I think Croatia would have taken a draw there and then. And we created very little. And then... Even people were posting in the second hour, oh my God, this is so boring. And then Phillips intercepted the ball, put a lovely through ball to Sterling, and that was it, job done.
Right.
Croatia could have played on till tomorrow, and they still wouldn't have scored. And it's like we said, they're a team in decline, and they showed that, unfortunately, and we didn't really have to come out of second gear. And a lot, you know, it was just no energy in our play at all.
Right, so as we have said, we beat an ageing Croatian side with a 36-year-old midfielder.
Yeah,
and I'll stand by what I said pre-tournament. When you meet a good team in these tournaments, when you get to the knockout, two things tend to decide the games: either a moment of individual brilliance by a superstar player, Mbappe or whatever it may be, or your manager or coach outmaneuvers the other manager tactically. That tends to be how they're decided. And I'll stand by that. When we get to that stage, our manager won't be up for it, as he showed in the World Cup semi-final. I've not seen or heard anything that makes me believe different. I'm happy, more than happy, to eat humble pie if I'm proved wrong. You know, they've already said he's staying, whatever, which I think is ridiculous. It's just, you know, football. I was talking to somebody over the weekend about football managers. It's just such a bizarre career that, you know, we've said it before. If you fail, you still seem to get rewarded. It's just it is a really strange career.
Lovely payout.
You know, we're going to get ahead of ourselves. We probably will beat Scotland. We'll beat the Czechs. Should be penalty kicks, really. So it's not that I don't want England to win. I do hope on Friday we absolutely bury Scotland. Nothing will give me more pleasure. But the guy in charge for me will be the reason why it all goes pear shaped at some stage. And I don't like the biggest thing is, and I'm not sure whether this is the right way to look at life. Suggsy's like somebody, he looks at life, everything's positive. So all he ends up being is constantly disappointed. Where I like to start on a level that it's not going to happen, but I can be fully, you know, surprised and happy if it does. So I never let myself get this source of serious, you know, disappointment. And I think we'll see the whole country in about 2-3 weeks in an air of deflation, where I'll just be walking around going, well, that was always what was going to happen.
And you know me well. I'm exactly the same like that. And anything else is a bonus, isn't it?
So that's that. So we'll see with that. That's enough on England. And I did post on Twitter yesterday, obviously we had the Austria-Macedonia game, which I said I felt was going to be a cracker. I didn't say it was going to be the highest quality football. I just had a feeling exactly what we said on the pod. Both teams have got to go for it, got to see it as the three-pointer. That Arnautovic has got something wrong with him, hasn't he? He has definitely got something. He is not right in the head, that boy. I don't know what that was when he scored.
No.
But when we put that up on Saturday, wasn't it? Saturday. One of the first texts I got, and I did put it on Twitter on my WhatsApps.
I did see.
I can't remember it. I haven't got it in front of me, but you know that bet's got no chance. 0-0 written all over it. RB scalping the unders. I don't know where.
Two awful teams.
I only did the top bit, but went on to tell me why I was wrong. I just find that a really strange concept. It's a bit like the guy who said I was boring.
Yeah.
If you find the podcast boring, if you don't like listening to me, then just fucking turn it off. It's like I say I don't like Piers Morgan, so I don't watch him. I'm going to watch him so I can have a moan. If you think the tips are shit that we're putting up, just ignore them. Why do you think you feel you've got to tell me that they're shit? I mean, I don't know, what did he think we were going to do? That we were going to get on, you know, I'm going to get hold of you and say, sorry, Scott, we need to re-record this podcast. Take that away. Alan from Manchester says it's a load of bollocks. I don't really see. I can't see how they gain anything from it.
Normally.
Other than there's a strong likelihood I'm going to call them out about it when it goes wrong. If I'm wrong, I'm not going to say anything. I just don't get it.
I never do that sort of thing because I never want to end up with egg on my face. So.
No, it's just a really weird thing. I don't know how he saw that playing out. Like, he's listened to the podcast Saturday. It was Saturday, Sunday, sorry. It was early yesterday morning he texted me. I'm going to tell him that's a load of bollocks. What's all that about?
And if it was me, I'd be watching the game, and it would add pressure to me watching the game. I was thinking every time they get there, they go, don't score, because I've said that to Ian.
I mean, we're just guys giving our opinion on the game. Yeah. Take it or not, that's how I saw the game playing out. And I saw the value in the prices for the goals markets. Simple as that. As it turns out, it's right. You know, what have we got to go? 40-odd games still.
Yeah.
We're going to get plenty wrong. You know, it's going to... Don't think that we're not. I'm well aware of that. But you can only call it as you see it based on the in front of you.
Got that right because we both had goals in that game.
Yeah. Why they feel they've got to text in and tell us that we're wrong is quite bizarre. Yeah. No chance. I mean, that's...
Certainly before the game, afterwards, you know, because there'd be after timers, weren't they, saying... Oh, I knew that was a rubbish bet. But
That's exactly right. That's it, yeah. So on to today. And we have, first up, there is mammoth excitement. I expect a few of them. I'm going to get called a stereotype in a whole nation now. But I expect a few of them are pissed already. Scotland return to the big stage. And it is quite ironic that Scotland are returning to the big stage about the same time as I last had a 1-2-year-old running around the house. Well, there you go. That's how long it's been. I'll be honest, I've said it before, I've had the row with Suggsy. I think it's going to be fantastic to see the Tartan Army in Hampden Park today.
I do.
I really do. I think they for the few games they play, they always add something to the tournament. With four third place teams qualifying, be honest, it's not a massive format I'm happy of, but with that set up, similar to the Austria-Macedonia game, I think Scotland and the Czech Republic both see this, particularly with Croatia having no points and being under a bit of pressure now. I think if Croatia had drawn yesterday, slightly different. But with Croatia having no points, I think Scotland and the Czechs will see it as a great opportunity, get 3 points on the board, put a bit of pressure with, you know, with an a real belief then, I think, of getting second spot. You know, if you can beat win today and then hold Croatia to a draw, you know, Croatia are under immense pressure. So they're not going to get 3 points on Friday, Scotland.
No.
So this is their chance of giving themselves a great chance of getting pasted in the first knockout round. You're just delaying it, guys, but it is going to happen. But enjoy it along the way. So they come into this. They've got a respectable 2-2 draw. Netherlands got a late equaliser against them a while back. And then 1-0 over Luxembourg. I didn't see it, so I don't know anything about it, but doesn't read great. Got some capable players, haven't they? They've got, you know, both teams, as I say, going to see it as 3 points. Scotland do have some, you know, Robertson, McTominay, McGinn, you know, not world beaters, but decent players. Gilmore looks exciting. I quite like the manager. I think he's quite tactically
astute. Tierney as well is a decent player.
I can't mention him because he plays for Arsenal. So I'll let you mention him. I deliberately just went over him. The Czechs are inconsistent. Pasted 4-0 by Italy, who we see our quality. 1-3-1 over Albania. Drew 2-2 with Belgium. Really difficult team to try and get a handle on for me. It is a massive game in the context of the group for these two teams. I really do think that certainly the Scots will see second place up for grabs. I'm certain the Scots think they can come to Wembley and get something on. They won't, but I think they believe that. Clark will get his wing backs on the front foot, roared on by the hand and faithful. I genuinely think Scotland win this. I do think Scotland are going to win today. I think the tenants will be exploding all over the country come whatever it is, 3:50 this afternoon.
Hope so.
And I hope they do, yeah. I hope they do, because I think one, unlike us, where they always want us to lose, I do want them to win today, and I just think it will add so much to Friday's game if both teams are going into it 3 points.
Yeah.
And to be honest, if they get beat by the Czechs, they may as well not bother fucking turning up on Friday. They might as well just stay up there and enjoy themselves. They have won the last three against the Czechs. Bet-wise, am I brave enough to back them? No, I'm not, because it is Scotland in a big tournament and there is always the danger the occasion gets the better of them. But the Czechs are averaging 2.71 goals per game since 2018. The Scots are averaging 2.8 goals per game since 2018. In the same period of that, Czechs have had 0 nil-nils. I'm not brave enough to back Scotland. I'll hold my hands up. I do think they'll win, but I'm not brave enough to back them. So I'm going to have my standard over 1.5 bet, Scott, which, again, I have to read it all out in case we got a new listener. We've lost one. We've lost Alan from Manchester. So he's gone with his Austria.
The Welsh.
I've done the Welsh. We've done the job. We've got no, but there might not be anybody listening, but I will.
No.
So if it is 0-0 on 20 minutes, I'll use Football 24 for timings. I will back over 1.5 goals. 1 point total stake, split into three. Third on 20 minutes, third on 27, third on 35. If a goal goes in between those stakes being placed, obviously you'll have a third or two thirds matched. I would remove my liability. If a goal goes in basically any part, just remove your liability. If you can only do that for red because the goal comes too late, then I will just let it run. So I'd risk losing the point in the hope that we get the second goal and the full win. So that is me for Scotland Czechs, just the over 1.5 standard bet, mate. What have you got?
Right, okay. The Czechs have made it to every tournament since 1996. They have qualified from their groups in three of their last six Euros. The Czechs have been involved in just one draw in the last 4 years.
Have they? Well,
which is unreal for international football.
Yeah.
Which hopefully bodes well for getting a winner in the game today. Scotland, this is, as you said, this is their first major final since the 1998 World Cup. They were in the same Nations League group as today's opponents, coming second to them. Scotland did beat them at home and away last year in the group, and are unbeaten in the last four, as you said, winning three, drawing one. Also, Scotland scored in the first half in all four of those unbeaten games via the Czechs.
Wow.
Here at Hampden Park, they have played 258 games and are unbeaten in 76.75% of them.
Well, good, good.
I think exactly the same. Do you think both will see this as a must win and their best chance by far of 3 points in the group? As far as goals, the closest I got to was both to score, but the Czechs have failed to score in five of their last 11 away games when there's not friendlies involved. But as you've said, because they've conceded in 10 of those 11, Scotland have not conceded in five of their last eight at home in competitive games. And I do, my gut is saying both to score, but I just can't do it based on the stats, so I'm not doing any goals bet on this game. But as you found was so funny, I'm already on Scotland team goals. So I'm hoping for a 4-0 win today.
Right, best of luck.
As usual, I've looked at corners and cards, and the available lines are all higher than I would want them to be to get involved. I did consider Czech team corners, as they got 20 over the two games v Scotland. They got 12 here and 8 at home, but of late they've been very, very inconsistent on them. So it's actually a no-bet game for me, because I'm just going to cheer on Scotland team goals. For those that are listening that, you know, are thinking, okay, what a gun to my head, what would I be doing? I would either do your over 1.5 trade like you already are, or both to score, because I've just got it in my head that both will score, but the stats don't back it up. So that's me.
Okay, and if anybody's listening, our pre-tournament bets, which is the Scotland team goals bet that Scott's talking about, are available in the pod that was on Friday, wasn't it? So that being Friday the 11th. So if you wanted to go back and listen to the pods, that's got all our pre-tournament bets. And Scotland had Scott had Scotland over 14 goals, wasn't it?
Over 3.5.
Over 3.5, yeah, needs four or more team goals. Yeah. And what was your Russia one?
Oh, thanks for reminding me. Over 4.5, that's looking some way off.
Yeah, that took a bit of a kick. And that, we didn't talk about that, actually, before we move on to Spain. So we won out a cracking second half last night, the Netherlands-Ukraine. Did you watch that?
It was excellent.
Yeah, really, really enjoyed it. I mean,
did you watch it?
I did, yeah. Funnily enough, I watched the first 15, 20 minutes when it was a bit end-to-end, and it sort of started fast, and no goals came, and I thought, I know what's going to happen here. We're on over 2.5. There's probably not going to... It's going to be one of them. And I took the dog for a walk, come back, and it was half-time, and I sat and watched the second half. And, just brilliant. I mean, the two Ukrainian goals, just...
The fantastic.
Yarmolenko's, forget again who he plays for, was a fantastic strike. But I just thought the ball in for the second goal, the free kick, it was just so good. It was so, so good.
It was.
You know, just absolutely brilliant.
2-0, I don't know about you, but I didn't see Ukraine coming back.
No. Well, they seemed to be really tired and flat. And then the Yarmolenko, I mean, you felt a bit for them, didn't you? The Yarmolenko goal. But getting back,
I don't think I've actually... even though Netherlands had plenty of chances, I think Ukraine were in the game.
Yeah, I think there'd have been some people made some money. There was a million matched at 104 and less on Netherlands when it went 2-2. So I'd imagine there'd been a few on the end of that who'd laid them low and greening up. But yeah, incredible. Fantastic. Game of the tournament. So two good games.
I think Yarmolenko goal was probably the goal of the tournament so far, wasn't it?
Two different ways, the Austria game and that game were certainly the games of the tournament yesterday.
Yeah, they were.
Now moving on to one that will not, I'm almost certain, be game of the tournament, and that is Poland versus Slovakia. Poland are coming in dismal form. Haven't beaten a top-tier nation for ages since the old king died. Lost to England, drew with Hungary, Russia, late equaliser against Iceland. Difficult once you get past Lewandowski to see any real positives about them at all for me. Backline looks really poor. They have managerial problems. Sack the manager, got this new guy in. He seems to be unable, when you dig into it a bit, unable to find 11 that works or can play the way he seems to want to play. I see Lewandowski looking a little bit forlorn wandering around here today. A sort of lack of service. Slovakia then have got some of the worst numbers of the tournament teams coming into it. 22% clean sheets, 9% nil-nil. They failed to score in 30% of their games since 2018. Possession numbers are low. They've only won two of the last 13 in 90 minutes. It just was a, as I was doing this, it was just a long list of, for fuck's sake, bollock, negative, negative. Yeah. They dropped points against Malta, points against Cyprus. It's just a bad set of numbers for me. Poland are odds on 1.76, 3.65 the draw, 6.2 Slovakia. Like you with the Scotland game, I've got no bet. I'm not that interested. I'm happy to pass, son. Over to you.
Okay, Slovakia have progressed to the round of 16 in their last two major tournament appearances, the 2010 World Cup and the Euros in 2016. They did fail to win both opening games in those two tournaments, but did still progress. This is their first meeting with Poland in a major tournament. Surprised to see that Slovakia have lost just two from their last seven v Poland, and in non-friendlies have won three from four. But the last meeting was in 2013. As far as Poland, this is their fourth Euro Championship appearance in a row. In 2008 and 2012, they failed to get out of the group, but 2016 they did make it to the quarterfinals. They have only won one of their last nine opening games at a major tournament. Poland have failed to score more than one goal in their last 11 games at European Championships. And none of those 11 went over 2.5 goals.
Wow.
They, of course, have Lewandowski, classed as one of the best club side finishers in the world, and rightly so, but it's a big but. He comes into this having scored just two in 11 major finals. In the Euro 2012, he scored one in three. Euro 2016, he scored one in five. 2018 World Cup, he scored zero in three. He's 32 now, coming off his best ever league campaign, scoring 41 and 29. But playing for Bayern and playing for Poland is a totally different thing. And it'll be interesting to see if he can improve on his poor record at major finals. And okay, it doesn't help that he plays for Poland, whereas there's not that much quality around him. And like you, both sides don't come into this game in very good form at all. And I have nothing. I've looked at corners, looked at cards. And yet again, if people ask, like you said to me, right, but if you had to have a bet, it would have to be a Poland win. Because when you look at their players, player for player, they're a far better playing team than Slovakia, but it doesn't mean they play as one. But yeah, if I was pushed, I'd say Poland win.
Yeah, again, you just don't want to, you wouldn't want to get in on...
No, because they're too inconsistent, but they have got better players.
Yeah. Let's see, I just couldn't touch them at odds on personally. No. You know, I think they've shortened up a little bit this morning. And I just looked and thought, yeah, not for me. Oh, so we're having a dry old day. Take your family out when Poland Slovakia's on 5 o'clock. Have your dinner, go out for a nice walk. And then we move into Spain versus Sweden is the 8 o'clock kickoff. Spain are currently 1.36, which I believe is the shortest price pre-match favourite we've seen. Denmark were around about 1.4 in their game, I think. So, and Spain are looking to become the most successful team ever in the Euros with a fourth win. But that is a long way from the heady teams of Iniesta and Xavi in their heyday. Last three tournaments for them, I think, have been epic fails. Seen some changes. Again, a mixed bag of results when you start. They beat Germany 6-0 and then drew 1-1 with Greece. But since 2018, they've actually been surprisingly quite impressive. They've only lost 3 out of 23 competitive games since 2018. They've scored two or more goals in over 70% of those. The group looks straightforward for them. You know, you see them getting quarterfinals minimum and then anything can happen. You know, it's difficult to decide whether Sweden here present the biggest test for them or Poland. Sweden have won their last five, but, you know, some of the opposition is nothing. But if Spain have any serious views of winning this, and I think the one thing, I don't think there's a massive expectancy on Spain to win this tournament, but if they, you know, probably the players think, actually, we can sneak along quite nicely. If they've got any serious views, I think they'd need to make a sort of Italy-type statement here. Spain game, their average over 3.4 goals a game since 2018. And Sweden average over 2.8. Spain haven't had a 0-0 draw in competitive games since 2018. Sweden have only had 5%. And Spain have failed to score in just 4% of those games. So literally next to nothing. I did all that, came on, I thought, probably going to see over 2.5, around about 1.7, 1.75. And I was quite pleasantly surprised to see it sitting at 1.96. I can't see that there won't be goals. I think the over 2.5 will trade here. So I'm going to wait 10 minutes. So if it is 0-0 after 10 minutes in this game, over 2.5 will then be up over 2. I will back over 2.5 goals for 1 point. If a goal goes in, I will sit on it. And if it gets back to my entry point, then I would scratch. So if I've backed at 2, the market would go down to 1.3, 1.35. I've got that time to let it go back. If it does, if it gets back to 2, I can just play the other side of the market, lay it and get out. If not, if the second goal goes in, I would then green both outcomes, which is exactly what I did in the Holland game yesterday. Obviously, it depends on the timing of goals, what profit you can get. So that's basically how I'm going to play this one. Just one bet for me, over 2.5 goals, if 0-0 on 10 minutes, full point in at that time. And then I'll trade it from there, looking to green on the second goal. Over to you, my friend.
Right. Okay, Sweden. Sweden came second to Spain in the qualification for these finals, losing just the one game, and that was in Spain, and they lost 3-0. They did help hold them 1-1 at home. Since their semi-final appearance in 1992, they've gone out of the group stages in 4 of the last 5 Euro finals. And last time they did get out of the group was 2004. They did make it to the quarterfinals in the World Cup in 2018. They lost 2-1 to Spain in their only previous meeting at a Euros final in 2008. As far as Spain, 3-times Euro champion Spain make the 7th Euro final appearance in a row. They have been champions in 2 of the last 3 European Championships, 2008 and 2012. They play all their group games in Seville. They have, as you say, have a fantastic record at home, not losing since October 2018. And that was to England, 2-3 in the Nations League. And the good stat is none of Spain's last 12 wins at Euro finals have seen them concede in the first 30 minutes. As far as the selection, I've actually gone corners.
Have you?
In qualification when these two met, in Sweden, there were 16 and Spain got 11 of them on their own. And then at home to Sweden, there were 17 and Spain got 16 of them. Since March 2019, Spain at home in 10 competitive matches, i.e. no friendlies, averaged 9.1 on their own. And Sweden, last 9 away in competitive matches, averaged 5.1 themselves as well. So when I can get 1.83 at Skybet for 10 or more in the match, that to me is good value. Bet365 were 1.61 yesterday, but they've drifted to 1.72. But 1.83 Skybet still there this morning. And for me, has to be worth a bet just for 10 in the match.
Okay, so 1.83 Skybet, 10 corners.
Yeah.
And that's your only bet of the day.
Yeah.
A lump on. Lump on, Scotty's bet of the day. So we've got 1.5. Oh, standard my over 1.5 bet in Scotland game. Neither of us have got anything in Poland. You've got the corners bet there in Spain versus Sweden at Skybet. And I've got over 2.5 to trade. That's it. As always, Scotty, thank you ever so much for your time.
Thanks to you as well, Ian.
Thank you for the results that you're doing and putting them up in...
no problem.
I think from the feedback I am getting, other than Alan in Manchester, we're being fairly well received. So, thank you for your time. And we'll be back.
I really enjoy it.
We'll be back as always tomorrow. I believe there's only two games, isn't there, tomorrow?
There is, yeah. There was one on the first day, and these are the two to finish it off, yeah.
Yeah, Hungary, Portugal, and France, Germany. And then we're back into teams playing their second games, then, aren't we? From Wednesday onwards. So as always, we will be back every day. Thank you, Scotty. Good luck to everybody playing. As always, say it every day, at your own peril. You can ignore us. You can do whatever you like. We're just here to give you a bit of info. And we'll be back with you all tomorrow morning. Cheers, guys. Thank you. Bye.
Cheers.